Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
This is for you, ladies and gentlemen, your national anthem. Seconds. That's how long it takes to play the national anthem of the United States of America. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Blasingame. It's now 13 after the hour. I'm glad to be here with you on the 4th of July. I love that song. I hope I never stop getting a tingle when that flourish comes there toward the end. It's just a wonderful piece of music. And I've got somebody here who I want to get to talk to us about that music here on the 4th of July. Ken Davis, ladies and gentlemen, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, joins us on a regular basis, especially on the holidays. He's the author of Don't Know Much About History and other books in the Don't Know Much About franchise, many of them. And he's our good friend. You've seen him on television. You've heard him in other places, but we like it when he's here. Ken Davis, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim, good morning and happy Independence Day to you. And yeah. I always like to remind people it should have been Independence Days.
Right.
Because John Adams thought July 2nd, 1776 would be the most important date in history, and we'd celebrate with parades and bonfires and illuminations, by which he meant fireworks, because that was the day that Congress actually passed the resolution
right.
in favor of independence. But we just don't want to have Resolution Day, so we have the Declaration on the 4th
right.
adopted by the Congress, and that becomes the nation's birthday.
We can only, you know, us small business owners can only afford one paid holiday, Ken. We can't have more than one holiday. And by the way, according to my notes, June the 7th was the day that the meeting in Philadelphia where Richard Henry Lee urged Congress to declare independence. So
that's
so
correct. And Congress, in its wisdom then, decided to table the motion and break up into committees. so some things never changed.
Even in those days, right?
Well, that's listen. Right. And one of those committees was the committee designed to draft the Declaration. It was John Adams and Benjamin Franklin, Roger Sherman of Connecticut, very important figure in
yep.
American history, Robert Livingston of New York, who was the most reluctant, perhaps, of the signers to break away.
Well, New York was a reluctant participant itself, wasn't it?
That's correct.
Right.
And then, of course, Jefferson was a very late addition at Adams's suggestion. He was a young man from Virginia. Adams knew what he had written before, some pamphlets, some tracts about.
They also needed Virginia, didn't they?
They needed Virginia. Adams knew they needed Virginia's voice in this because Virginia carried a lot of weight
yep.
in those days. And as Adams later said, maybe he was just being kind in his old age. He said Jefferson was 10 times a better writer than I am. And based on what I've read, he's probably right.
Well, that was an interesting time for those two, wasn't it? I mean, those were days when they got along. Years later, they were almost at daggers drawn in their relationship, and it was an interesting. If you ever get a chance to study or contemplate or read or whatever you can, however you can do it, to think about the relationship between Adams and Jefferson, it's a good one. You know, Ken,
let me just say there. This is my 30-second commercial, less than 30 seconds. Don't Know Much About the American Presidents is coming out in
yes.
September. a complete history of the presidency and each president, and I do discuss that relationship. Adams, of course, did not even attend the inauguration of Thomas Jefferson. And they, you know, politely you can say, well, there was no precedent for doing that then. There was no real precedent for the outgoing president.
Well, he was still stinging from the defeat. I mean,
he was stinging from the defeat. He left Washington at something like 5 o'clock in the morning, and that was it. But you're absolutely right, and that's what reminds us that these guys, we see them in the statues and their faces on the money, but they were human beings. They had egos. They had ambitions.
When is that book coming out?
That will be out in September.
Okay, I can't wait to get my copy. Folks, look for that.
We'll make sure that you get a copy.
And be sure to come back at that time, and let's talk about it then. The national anthem is a couple hundred years old, isn't it?
That's correct. That was written, we think about it being around from the
I should say that song is 100, 200 years old. That would be more correct, right?
Well, what we can say to be accurate is that the poem on which the lyrics of the song were written in 1814 during the War of 1812, which of course began just about 200 years ago. Francis Scott Key was an attorney. He was aboard a British ship negotiating for the exchange of prisoners when the British start to bombard Baltimore and Fort McHenry in the harbor. He wakes up in the morning, and of course, by the dawn's early light, sees the flag still flying. He's inspired to write this poem called The Defense of Fort McHenry.
Right.
It is later set to an old British drinking song. Yes, that's right, a British drinking song. Thank goodness it wasn't 99 bottles of beer on
right.
the wall.
Right, thank you.
But it did not become the official national anthem for a long, long time. In fact, there was some controversy about it. In 1905, for instance, the New York Times said, this song is too hard for most people to sing. The range is too high, and you know from the number of times you've heard it butchered and the lyrics destroyed by people who mangle it. I'm with you. I get chills every time I hear it. And gentlemen, please, when you stand up, take the baseball cap off.
Take the cap off. Put your heart over your hand over your heart.
Hand over the heart.
You know what else? You know what else?
You can
put your heels
salute.
Together and come to attention.
You can salute if you are in uniform.
Exactly.
But that's
don't
about
slouch.
It.
Don't slouch. Stand up a little straighter.
Off.
And I'll tell you, Ken, you know, as I've said before a few times on the show, I spent 15 years in uniform, and I can't not come to attention. It's not possible for me.
Well,
it's automatic when I stand up, and I just wish other people would do that.
I was not in the uniform you're talking about, but my father certainly was, and he was a scout leader, and
yep.
We learned from a very early age the right way to do it, and that has nothing to do with your politics.
Right,
that
exactly.
Is really,
exactly.
What it's all about being an American.
Hold on to that thought, Ken. Quick break. Right back with Ken Davis. I'm Jim Blasingame.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.